Hello, and welcome to the Message Share Ministry of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. After some congregational singing, you will hear a worship service and Bible teaching. Our speaker is Richard Waltz, who is an elder and the pastor of the church.
Tonight we are finishing up chapter 22 of 2 Samuel. Let God be exalted. And that is our theme as we sing these hymns tonight. The instruction that we magnify the name of the Lord, that we exalt His name, that His name is the name which is above every other name. And that implies a willful submission to His will on our part. Have thine own way, Lord. The hymn is 574. 574.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Amen.
And as it is our duty, our responsibility, and yes, even our privilege to exalt His name, to praise Him, He is to be crowned with many crowns. The hymn is 216. Crown Him with many crowns. 216.
Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands and sides, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends His burning eye at mystery so bright. Crown Him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways. From pole to pole that wars may cease, absorbed in prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round His pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. Crown Him the Lord of you, appears, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity. Amen.
And as we exalt his name, we are giving him the glory that he rightly deserves. The hymn is 667. 667, to God be the glory, great things he hath done.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that we may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus forgiveness receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Amen.
Amen. Please stand. We're going to ask Dan to read this passage tonight. It's a rather lengthy passage compared to what we've been doing lately, but it's verses 31 through 51 in 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22, verses 31 to 51.
As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their closed places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore.
Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have attained the victory over the wicked, and that you hold us up, that you have won the victory over sin and death and hell, and that those who would rise up against us may only do so far as you permit them. We thank you that you are the sovereign one, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you for the progress that Brother Bob Klotz has made, and pray that you continue to strengthen and encourage him, help him, give the doctors wisdom as they still continue to determine what may be part of his problem. We pray that you would continue to give him clarity of thought, and that even as he said that the place there is a mission field, we pray that you would use him there to be a witness, to be a light unto others. We thank you for your faithfulness. We pray also for Jeremiah Capuzzi as he was here this morning. We pray that you would guide and direct him as he returns to Atlanta, that you would give safety and travel, and that you would guide and direct him there. And for the rest of the Capuzzi family also, we pray that you would give comfort to them. We thank you for how you answer prayer. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Our topic this morning was Prepare the Way. And this tonight is somewhat the same theme. Let God be exalted. That was the result of John the Baptist's preparation of the way this morning. The Messiah was revealed, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And our date in history that we commemorate tonight is along that same theme as well. For it was August 17th, the year 1917, that William Cameron Townsend initiated what came to be known as the Wycliffe Bible Translators, and then shortly thereafter he also developed the Summer Linguistic League. He had grown up in Southern California, came to a saving faith in Christ, and for a period of time as a young man, he was a Bible salesman. And as he traveled and sold Bibles, he went on several mission trips to Central America, to Mexico, and he sold and distributed Spanish Bibles. But he quickly came to the realization that while the mass of the population understood Spanish, most of them were in the darkness of Roman Catholicism. They weren't really interested in the study of the Scriptures. But he knew that there were other peoples who were not receiving the benefits of reading the Bible. There were many other native languages, Indian languages, and other people groups around the world who've never seen a printed Bible. And it was Cameron Townsend's conviction and calling to gather together some of the best linguistics experts and strive to translate the Word of God into not just the high flowery languages of the well-educated, but to translate the Scripture into the various dialects and languages that were not readily accessible to the printed Word. And that's a different approach to the translation of Scripture than what we see largely in this country. Translation of Scripture often has a religious or a political agenda that serves as the basis for translation. They seek to eliminate certain passages or redefine certain doctrines. But that was not Cameron Townsend's approach. He wanted to make the Word of God accessible to the languages who did not have access to the Word of God. Thus, in a sense, he helped to prepare the way for the spread of the gospel, even carrying out the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. As he instructed us to go forth, he told the early disciples to go forth from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the far corners of the earth. Cameron Townsend assisted in that task. He died in 1982 at the age of 85. Throughout his life, he was completely dedicated to the translation of the Word of God into various languages that had not seen the printed Word. So, thus we remember William Cameron Townsend. Tonight we are wrapping up chapter 22 of 2 Samuel. And this passage is again a focus upon God's work, God's grace, God's blessing in the life of David as he reflects back upon the many years in which he served as king of Israel. And as he approached the end of his life here on earth, he's acknowledging the goodness of God. Despite all of the troubles that he has had, despite all of the persecutions, despite all of the dangers that he lived through, David focused upon the goodness of God. And he, here in verse 31, acknowledges that God's way is perfect. It might not have been the way that he would have chosen for himself if he was plotting out the course of his life. And as many times we seek to plot out the direction that our lives will take, oftentimes things don't turn out the way we initially anticipate. But God is sovereign, and he sets our boundaries and our limitations. And it is he who blessed David and preserved David and protected him and guided him throughout his entire life. He encouraged him during those dark years of flight and danger in which he was falsely accused and persecuted by King Saul. He was delivered against all kinds of overwhelming odds. He won the victory over great giants like Goliath and the other four of the children of Gath. But David never despaired. He focused upon God's goodness unto him, and he knew, as he says here in verse 31, that the way of the Lord is perfect and that his word is true. David, the psalmist, is responsible for giving us many such passages throughout the Psalms, as he reflected upon the mercy of God, upon the grace of God, upon the deliverance and the forgiveness that God has granted by faith. And focusing on the difference between the natural perspective, the prosperity of the wicked, and the eternal perspective of their ultimate end and the ultimate reward and blessing for the child of God. So David, by the power and the inspiration of the Spirit of God, was able to focus upon God's blessing and God's goodness throughout his entire life, recognizing that the Word of God is tried, it's true. And thus, it can be relied upon. Even as we noted this morning, the accuracy, the historical accuracy Many people think the Bible is not worth much, but it is an accurate book. It is a complete, inerrant, full revelation, authoritative of the Word of God. And thus, it is able to be relied upon. It is our source of truth. It is our source of wisdom. It is our guidebook for faith and practice. And thus, David concludes again in this passage, as he has reiterated throughout this particular chapter, which is in effect Psalm 18, he reflects that God is his buckler, his shield, his defense, as he is for every believer. Everyone who trusts upon the name of the Lord finds God to be so dependable in this way. He doesn't just arbitrarily give his blessing or his protection to some. He doesn't just give it to kings and let the rest of us go. For in God's sight, those who are redeemed, those who are the elect, those who are saved, we indeed, like David, are kings and priests and joint heirs with none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And thus we have hope and we have confidence and assurance that the Word of God is tried and true. He asks a rhetorical question. What God is like our Lord? There is none. There's no other God that can compare to the God of the Bible. And thus, he asks again, who is the rock save our God, or except our God? There is none. Lots of people depend upon many things. They trust in their fortunes. But we've seen at various points throughout the history of mankind, just as economic prosperity comes, it can also go. And there is that cycle of economics, which sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. And this causes the disappearance of many people's fortunes to the extent that they have no hope. They despair to the point that they jump off tall buildings. And they don't fly away like Superman. They come to a rather sudden end. And this is a reminder to us that we cannot trust in the world's riches. They are fleeting. We are warned to put our treasure in heaven and not on earth, where moth and rust corrupt. And thus, our hope is not in the things and the riches of this world. It is in heaven. David here reminds us of that eternal perspective. He reminds us that God is the giver of all good things, and that he promises to bless his children. Not that we get everything that we want, but he does provide and promise to provide everything that we need. And as the world trusts in the things of this life, they trust in health, they trust in wealth, they trust in their jobs, their titles, their reputations. But all of those things can be destroyed in an instant. And thus, the only long-lasting eternal hope that we have is the hope that we have in Christ. In the next section, David again reflects on God's ability to sustain. He speaks of how he has extended his steps so that his feet may not slip. And of course, we see the word picture there that is painted for us. There's great stability if you've got a wider stance. Athletes, wrestlers will seek to spread their legs apart to maintain their balance so that they are not thrown off balance. And this is the image that David is pointing towards here, that as one pictures someone standing with their feet close together, a quick shove and they're toppled over easily. Whereas if their feet are balanced and further apart, it's more difficult to throw them off balance. And thus, we have the representation here that God has enabled stability in David's life. He has provided that stability so that whatever comes, whether it be a family catastrophe, a family rebellion, even as he had rebellious sons, or whether it be the invasion of a hostile enemy or a mighty giant, or whether it be a natural disaster, a famine, a flood, or whatever it might be, David was able to maintain his balance. He was able to maintain his poise, to maintain his trust in the sovereign grace of the Lord. And that's the kind of stability that we as Christians ought to have. As we travel through what is often represented as the storms of life, those things that beat at us and try to drive us off course, if we have the stability of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we cannot be easily blown off course. The Apostle Paul represents it as being driven by those winds, the false winds of false doctrines. But it's our objective and it's our duty to seek the Lord's grace, to seek the Lord's wisdom, so that in the midst of such storms we are not blown off course, but that we maintain a steady direction to that eternal heaven, the celestial city that John Bunyan so eloquently paints for us in The Pilgrim's Progress. That's the objective of every Christian. It's the place where the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare for us. And he says he will come again, and he'll take us there. And thus, we have the assurance, we have the confidence and the hope that he will do all that he has said he will do. In the next section, verses 38 to 41 or 42 or so, David is speaking of the strength that comes. Again, in the earlier section, he was speaking of a defensive posture. God is our rock. He's our refuge. He's our high tower. He's our safety. But here he's speaking of the victory that God has provided him. That as he has defeated all of his enemies, David doesn't take the credit for himself. He doesn't congratulate himself for being a great military strategist, though he apparently was that. He doesn't take credit for having been granted the loyalty of strong, mighty soldiers, though he had some of that. He gives all the credit and all the glory to God for those things that have happened in his life, for the victories that he has won. He acknowledges that God is the source, that God is the one who receives the praise. And this too ought to be our attitude whenever we experience success in anything. We ought not pat ourselves on the back and say, look what I did. We ought to praise the Lord. We ought to acknowledge his goodness. We ought to seek his purpose in allowing such a success. And we ought to be on guard against the tricks of the enemy. For sometimes the attacks come on the heels of such great successes. And thus, we ought to be constantly alert, constantly on guard. And as we praise the Lord, we ought to also be seeking his protection, his intervention, to make sure that we do not backslide, that we are not tripped up. Verse 47, again, focusing upon the power of God, the eternal presence of the Lord God Almighty. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. And that's verse 47. That's a common chorus. Do they still use that chorus at Camp Susqua? Sometimes. That verse is one that has easily lent itself to singing, as many of the Psalms have. And thus, it's a way in which we can quickly remember and apply the glory of the Lord, the blessings of God in our life, remembering and reminding ourselves that He's not just the God of David. He's not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not just the God of Moses and Noah and Adam. He's not just the God of Elijah and Elisha and all the great prophets of old. He's not even just the God of the disciples or John the Baptist. He's not just the God of Martin Luther and John Calvin and the great reformers. He's not just the God of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, all the great preachers of the United States in the early years, the colonial period. He's still the same God today. There's a more recent song which reminds us that some people think He's the God who was, but He's the God who is. And He's not just the God who did, but He's the God who does. And this ought to remind us and encourage us that He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And thus that He still has the same interest in His people today that He had in such faithful ones as David and Abraham and down through the ages. He's the same God. And thus He is deserving of the same praise. David resolved to praise Him. To praise Him even before the heathen. Sometimes we're quick to acknowledge God's goodness when we're in the confines of the assembly. When we're amidst other Christians, we're quick to acknowledge God. We talk about God. But we need to be careful because this scripture reminds us, as most of the scriptures do, that we ought to be prepared in season and out of season. Whether we're in a friendly crowd or a hostile crowd, we ought to be quick to acknowledge the goodness of God. We ought to be willing to praise Him. We ought to constantly credit Him with our success and not take all the credit for ourselves. David resolves here in verse 50 to praise His name, to speak of Him even before the heathen. There were many people in David's day who, though they might have been religious, they were not following God. As he noted the great victories that he had won, in the first section there he's talking about the external hostile enemies. Those nations such as the Philistines and the Ammonites and the Amorites and all of those. But then he moves on to those domestic enemies. Those enemies even within his own family that were a threat to not just his reign, to his kingdom, but indeed were a threat to his very life. And yet God sustained him through all of that. He provided protection and safety and victory. And thus, David is acknowledging the goodness of God. He's praising the Lord for the deliverance that he received. And as he comes to the close of his life, the end of his kingdom, he recognizes by this time that he's not going to be permitted to build the temple that he so yearned to build. That was left to his son Solomon. And yet he had the pleasure of assembling some of the materials, making the plans, passing along to Solomon the blueprints and the directions for what the temple would ultimately be. And this often is God's way in our lives as well. Zacharias, that we mentioned this morning, the faithful priest, one of the few faithful priests in Israel, he was not the beneficiary of the fame and the notoriety for having stood firm upon the word of God. That privilege fell to his son, John the Baptist. And it was John the Baptist who, though a priest in his own right, he was not part of the establishment. He was not part of the temple system. It was his calling to proclaim the gospel message in the wilderness. The people came to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees hated him. King Herod hated him because it was John the Baptist who stood up to Herod and reminded him of the sin that he had committed in taking the wife of his brother. And for that stand upon God's truth and God's standard of morality, John paid with his very head. And yet, he was blessed in the end because the Word of God reminds us to fear not those who can take our lives, but those but the one who can destroy both body and soul in everlasting hell. So, John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He paved the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet John recognized his own limitations. He said that he was not worthy to unloose the sandals of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet God, in his sovereign purpose, ordained that it was John who was called upon for the great privilege of baptizing the Lord Jesus. And thus, we often find ourselves in situations that we would not envision, that we would not plan for ourselves, but God, in his purpose, places us in certain settings. He gives us opportunities to speak for him, and to testify of him, to witness of what he has done. And then the Spirit of God works in the hearts and the lives of those who hear it. And we may never know in our lives the results of such what some would call chance encounters. We may not get the direct feedback of the outcome of speaking forth the truth or reminding someone of the goodness of God or the judgment of God, or the justice, or the grace of God. But that may be the seed that is sown that someday, down the road perhaps, even perhaps beyond our physical lifetime, it may come to the remembrance of those whom we have given witness, given testimony. And thus, there will be that eternal reunion. The results of the testimonies of the children of God. Thus, we are called to go forth. We are called to preach and teach and baptize, to make disciples, and to teach them all things which Christ has commanded. His word is not optional. We can't just take it or leave it. We are accountable to preach and teach the whole counsel of the Word of God. It may not be politically correct. It may not be what the world wants to hear. But nevertheless, it is what God has commanded that his servants proclaim. And it is that which he demands that his people believe and accept and live. And thus, David's conclusion to let God be exalted. He didn't desire his own glory. He had much. He had much fame and pomp and circumstance of royalty. He was a king. He was the king of what was at that time the most powerful nation on earth. And yet that did not go to David's head. He acknowledged that there was a greater king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he regarded the one who was promised to be coming as the Messiah, though it would be through his lineage, through his line, yet that Messiah was David's son, yet David's Lord. And thus, we are called to exalt the name of the Lord in all that we say, in all that we do, in all that we think. And thus we can sing hymn number 218. The hymn 218, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. 218.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Crown him, ye martyrs of your God, who from his altar call. Exalt the stem of Jesse's rod and crown him Lord of all. Extol the stem of Jesse's rod and crown him Lord of all. Ye seed of Israel's chosen race, ye ransomed of the saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all.
Please stand.
Sinners whose love can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall, so spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Amen.
Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message share recording from the pulpit of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. You are invited to join us in the assembly at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, off John Brady Drive, at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. every Lord's Day. For further information, call 570-435-2276 or email sgbc@localchurchpa.com. Check out our website at www.localchurchpa.com.